Hello and welcome. My name is Kyle, and this is How You Level Up, a podcast that decodes language to help you become your best self. Today we ask, what are good and bad explanations? There's a word that sounds like an answer to mysterious questions. You've heard it, maybe you've used it. Someone asks how traffic patterns develop in a city, or how consciousness arises from neurons, or why markets self-organize. This is when the word shows up. Emergence. Eliza Yudkowsky, in Map and Territory, calls emergence the junk food of curiosity. I giggled to myself when I first read that, and now I'm seeing it a little bit more often. What's the metaphor here? Junk food fills you up. It satisfies the hunger without actually feeding you. The word emergence does the same thing to your curiosity. It gives you the feeling of understanding without giving you more information or helping you to reach real understanding. The word emergence isn't alone in being labeled as junk food for curiosity. A few other examples would be complexity, synergy, natural, where the market decided. Of course, and I'm smacking my face right now, we've built an arsenal for words that look like explanations and function like exits for intellectual discussion or investigation. Yudkowsky calls these semantic stop signs. A simple test to find out if you're using a semantic stop sign. Did the word stop you from asking the obvious next question? If yes, then that was junk food that you just mentally ingested. Yudkowsky gives four signs of a bad explanation, and so I'm going to walk through them. One, it acts as a curiosity stopper, not an anticipation controller. A good explanation helps you predict what happens next. A bad one ends the conversation. Two, it has no moving parts, no mechanism, no process, just a vague label for a phenomenon. Three, the person offering it is proud of the mystery. They treat the phenomenon like it defies ordinary understanding, and they're pleased with the semantic stop sign. Four, you're just as confused after the explanation as before. So nothing has actually been resolved. When Yudkowsky was doing AI research, he and a colleague had a conversation. Whenever they hit something they couldn't explain, they'd say, it was magic. As in, X magically does Y. This is not X magically happens as an emergence of Y. Magic is honest. It leaves a placeholder. It says there is unfinished work here. Words like emergence or complexity pretend the work is done, and it's not. They create the illusion of understanding. I've started using this myself. That is, when I'm writing and I skip over something that I can't actually explain yet, I write magic. And that is a reminder that there is a gap I need to come back to. David Deutsch, in The Beginning of Infinity, says a good explanation has reach. It explains more than it's set out to explain. What does that mean? Well, Newton's laws don't only predict falling apples. They also predict the orbit of Jupiter, the path of a spacecraft, how the tides rise and recede. Newton's laws are explanations that have reach, and that reaches far beyond the original context. Another good example of a good explanation that has reach is germ theory. If bacteria cause diseases, then antibiotics work in predictable ways. Hygiene should reduce the infection rates. Medicine will impact sickness. And preventative measures will reduce infection rates. You can't actually swap in evil spirits or bad vibes without breaking the structure of germ theory. So a test for a good explanation is, can your explanation or the explanation you're reviewing do more than what it intended to do? And can you vary the explanation and have it still work? Meaning that a good explanation is hard to vary. You can't swap out evil spirits or bad vibes for antibiotics or medicine in the germ theory. A bad explanation is easy to vary. You can tweak it in any direction, and it still fits. That's a problem. An explanation that fits everything explains nothing. So what's an example of that, beyond using the word emergence or the germ theory? Well, how about everything happens for a reason? That's a good one. I've called that a debilitating statement before, in episode 19, a long time ago. There are similarities for this semantic stop sign, bad explanation, because they train incapacities, and they limit our thinking. They limit our power. There are crutches in our language that make you think you feel good just by knowing or explaining a thing. So how is everything happens for a reason easy to vary? Well, a child is cured of cancer. Everything happens for a reason. The reason was to show the power of medicine or faith. That same child now dies. Well, everything happens for a reason. The reason was to teach the family a lesson, to bring the community together. You get a promotion. Everything happens for a reason. The universe wanted you to succeed. You get fired. Everything happens for a reason. The universe had something better in store for you around the corner. This can be applied to anything. A plane crashing, a plane landing, somebody tripping, somebody not tripping, going on a date, being declined from a date. It's very easy to vary. And no matter what actually happens, you just tweak the reason. You never have to throw away the core idea, because it accommodates every possible observation without being constrained by reality. That is easy to vary and is a bad explanation. Yudkowsky is helping us identify bad explanations, and Deutsch is helping us identify good explanations. Both point to a major mistake we're currently discussing. It's a confusion between the map and the territory. Your map is your framework, your worldview, your understanding of reality. And the territory is reality itself. It is the world. When you say emergence and feel that little click of recognition, you've updated your map. You've put a label on the map. It is a label of your ignorance. You haven't actually touched the territory at all. Ignorance exists in your map, not in the territory. There is no phenomena that is mysterious to itself. It is you that is mystified. The thing is not mystified by itself. So when you forget this distinction, you start treating your blank spots or missing or blurry spots on the map as if they were properties of the world. And you stop asking the next question. You ignorantly worship your confusion like it's a blessing. Your ability to rationalize, analyze the world around you is your ability to be more confused by fiction than by reality. Meaning that most of us are less confused by a clean story than by the messy world, which is backward. If your worldview, your mental model, absorbs any outcome and any contradiction, it has zero predictive power. You're thinking the map in your mind is more accurate or correct than the territory around you, and you're applying bad explanations in a very general sense. This is a very similar principle that runs through how beliefs spread. If your beliefs are actually connected to reality, they should be transmissible, the kind of thing that you can share with someone and have them check. A belief that can't be shared is private, or not the kind of thing that can be checked, and probably isn't pointing to anything real. If you can't explain why someone else should believe what you believe, that's worth pausing on. So this episode's takeaway. One is that bad explanations stop you from asking another question. It is intellectual junk food for curiosity. And two, good explanations have reach. They apply to more areas than the immediate one within a domain, and they cannot be varied. In the next episode, we'll discuss problem solving, a companion or part two on this episode for explanations. I'll see you there. This episode is a dual book review for the two books, The Beginning of Infinity by David Deutsch and Map and Territory by Eliezer Yudkowsky. Both of these books, I thought, were incredible. The Beginning of Infinity was a long one, so I read that one straight through as fast as I could, in order to keep my momentum high. Map and Territory, I read slowly, for free, on the website Less Wrong. Link to the Less Wrong website is in the show notes. Because both of these books were so dense with information, and I found that many things overlapped, I'm only touching on a few points made from both of these books in this episode and the one that follows. I hope you have a good day, a good afternoon, or a good night. Thank you for listening to How You Level Up. If you're enjoying the show, subscribe and give a 5-star rating. There are new episodes each month asking questions about timeless communication lessons. Language is a medium for sharing, and the knowledge unpacked here can be applied to anyone, anywhere, facing any challenge. If there's a question or topic you'd like me to dive into next, send a note to any of my connected social media accounts. This is all about how you level up.